or setting it at where the Lord does not give us a spirit of fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He gives us a sound mind. He gives us power. He gives us love, not fear. The fear that we are speaking of is not the reverence of God. It is the fear of doing God's will. It's the fear of life. Jesus said, he who tries to hang on to this life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake shall gain it. Not only now, but in the world to come. Amen, amen. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to try to hang on to it because of fear. If you really believe God's word, if you really believe what God has to say, then fear could not touch you. How do you get rid of the fear? You use the shield of faith. The shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. What does that mean? The shield of faith is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that shield of faith. And it doesn't bounce the fiery darts off, it puts them out.
Amen.
Not only so, the fiery darts cannot attack you, but so they can't bounce off you and ignite in someone else too. Not only should you be putting out those darts of the devil through yourself, you should be protecting the others in your congregation also. All right, that was step four. Step five.
Trust in the
Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There are a lot of times in the Christian walk where we are not given the understanding at that moment of why a thing is or what God has in mind. I learned a long time ago, God does not need to check with me before he does a thing. He does not have to clear it with me. God is perfectly capable and has full authority to do whatever he feels like doing without first checking with me. Amen. And I also found out he doesn't always have to check with you. He is free to do as he chooses. And I know, because I trust in the Lord with all my heart, that God only does good things. He only does good things. So I don't have to worry about God doing some evil thing. If some evil thing happens, I know where it comes from. It does not come from God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It comes from the God of the world system, the false God. His name is Lucifer, Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, and many other names as he goes by. But we know that he is the fallen angel that rebelled against Christ and the Godhead before the foundation of this world. Amen. So if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, then I can believe that the Lord will do only good for me. And I can operate in the principles and power of God without having to understand them completely. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is we sit down and try to analyze and understand everything. And all the time we're analyzing and understanding, trying to understand everything, we're letting the opportunity go by to do everything. Amen. I've known many people that have said to me, I really feel called of the Lord to preach, and I really believe God wants me to preach, but I can't do it until I know everything about God. Well, that's a person that will never do it. That person will never do it. I remember August 8, 1972, coming up off a parking lot after the Lord called me. I came up preaching. No one told me I had to know everything. No one told me. Praise God. I didn't get involved in a church at that time. I got involved with the Lord. And no one told me I had to know everything. All I knew is that I had to know Jesus. Paul himself says, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech, nor enticing words of man and wisdom. For I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And what was the result of him coming that way? He came in demonstration of power of the Holy Ghost, so that our faith would not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. If you try to lean on your own understanding, then you're trying to understand God with the wisdom of man, and it'll never stand. But if you're leaning on Jesus Christ, trusting Him with all your heart, and you're leaning on His understanding, trusting His understanding, then you cannot fail. You cannot fall. Key to prosperity, key to the gifts of God, key to walking in the anointing of God, is to not trust your own understanding of a thing. A man one time said that if a man thinks he's the happiest man in the world, chances are he's right. But if a man believes he is the wisest man in the world, chances are he's the greatest fool. I read that just today. I ain't gonna tell you where. Some of you probably know or guess. Amen. But you know that, so, you know, even in the Reader's Digest, you can read something right once in a while. Every now and then you can read something right once in a while. And that guy was right. The man who thinks he's the wisest man in the world, he just about banked on it, he's the biggest fool. Why? Because he's trusting on his ability to be wise. His ability of knowledge and understanding. Well, let me tell you, there's just too much in this world to understand. There's too much for one man to understand, but not too much for the God who created it all to understand. Amen. Somebody said to me one day, he was an atheist. The professor at Ronald Scholar said, I'm an atheist. I said, really? That's amazing. I never met one before. It's a great honor to meet you. And he's then he popped up, he got this big grin on his face, he said, well, thank you. And I said, tell me something. It is commonly understood that Albert Einstein possessed 20% of total world knowledge. How much do you possess? And now, this guy had an ego problem, but he wasn't that stupid, and he wasn't going to let me put him in too bad a pit, you know. So he said to me, well, I would say that I have about 15% total world knowledge. And I said, well, then, I'm sorry, you're not an atheist. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, in order to be an atheist, you have to have total world knowledge. And since you only have 15%, it's obvious God dwells in the 85% you know nothing about. Therefore, that makes you stupid. And if I have the knowledge where God dwells and you have not, who's the wiser? I said, see you around. You don't impress me after all. He came back later on telling me he was an agnostic, and his buddy with him was more of an agnostic than he was. I told his buddy, I said, if I were you, I'd slap this guy. He said, what do you mean? I said, he just said he was stupid, he was dumber than us, man. He had no knowledge, and you were minus knowledge. It must make you a vacuum head or something. You let people go around talking about you that way. This guy got mad, he's fluttered, he's fired. He said, well, I don't know what the blankety blank I am. I said, praise God, now you're in a situation where even God can talk to you. Amen. Sometimes we have to give up our understanding of things and fall on the knowledge and understanding of God and learn to trust that. When we walk in that and we trust in that, God will bring us through into prosperity and into power and into might in His Word. Because then He is in control, not us. Amen. Alright. What's the next step? Step what?
Six.
Step six. And that's the one you're all waiting for, right?
Amen.
You got 1 through 5. Alright, let's go to 6. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 3. Remember what we read last night? Last night we started with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and thy marrow to thy bones. This is your key to physical health. This is your key to physical health. We're still back on 5, by the way. I'll get to 6 in a minute. Key to physical health. When you pick up the newspaper, and you read where the medical scientists or the medical practitioners have come up with a new theory on this sickness or that sickness or they have just found out this food is bad for you, or that food is bad for you, and you can't eat this and you can't eat that because it causes this or it causes that. If you believe that, then you are leaning on the understanding of man, and chances are you're going to get whatever they say you're going to get. But if you lean on the understanding of God and trust in God with all your heart, then God will make sure your physical body is healthy and it will continue to produce good blood to give you life. It is God, then, who rules over your body. Amen? See, let me show you something. The big thing today is cancer. It's been the big thing for years. We're not even going to get into age right now. That's for another time. But the big thing is cancer. Everything causes cancer. Amen? Everything. Everything. And they really don't know how to cure it. They do all kinds of things to people to make it go away or cut it out, do this and do that. But they really don't understand it that much. I understand it. I have no problem understanding cancer. Cancer is a demonic spirit. That's all it is. It's a spirit. It is caused by a spirit. And that spirit manifests itself in the flesh as cancer. It's not what you eat that causes cancer. It's what you are in your heart and in your spirit. If you allow demonic spirits to play on you, then you're going to pay the price. It's as simple as that. And somebody says, well, preacher, that sounds well and good, but what happens if you ever get cancer? Well, if I ever do, and I don't believe I am, but if I ever did, I'd have to stand on the word. That it's a demon spirit, and I'd have to get down and find out where I messed up or where I allowed the enemy to attack and pray to get rid of it. That's what I'd have to do. I have to lean on God's word. Demon spirits cause sickness. Not all sicknesses are caused by demon spirits. Not all sicknesses are caused by demon spirits. Some sicknesses are just plain old natural, ordinary sicknesses that come about because we are mortal man, soul under the bondage of sin. But Jesus Christ has redeemed us from that bondage of sin. Therefore, being redeemed from that bondage of sin, we should be able to walk in the newness of life, free from that curse and death of sin. Amen? Amen. Alright? So if we're trusting in the Lord, and we're leaning on His understanding, then when we read the scripture like this, it says, trusting in the Lord, and not be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel. And marrow to thy bones. When we read a scripture like that, then we should say, it is God that keeps us healthy. It is God that keeps us from sickness. And if we trust and believe in that, we can walk in it. Amen. Okay. Alright. Verse 9 gives us step 6. Honor the Lord. I'm stopping it right there for a second. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. When you give honor to someone, you recognize their position in authority. You recognize that they are over you. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice this. Notice how this is written. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor God with whatever you have. Honor Him with whatever you have. Just put whatever you have. If you're a millionaire, honor God with your millions. If you're a pauper, honor God with your pauperness. Whatever it is you have or don't have. You can't honor Him with what you don't have, but you can honor Him with what you do have. If all you have is time, honor Him with your time. Amen? Honor Him with all your substance. The things that you have, honor God. And honor God with the first fruits of thine increase. Now, the first fruits of thine increase, that is tithing. honoring God with your substance, his offerings. Do you see that? Honoring God with your substance, his offerings. Honoring God with the first fruits is tithing. Alright? What happens if you do this? He says, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is a promise of the Lord. It's a law of prosperity. God is showing us a spiritual law here that if we practice this law, he will manifest the truth of it in the physical. By honoring God with your substance and honoring God with your tithing, he guarantees you plenteous harvest. He guarantees your barns to be overfilled and your wine presses to just burst out with new wine. In other words, he guarantees you so much that now you can continue to honor God even greater. Amen. Now, this is not the same teaching that many teach. I'm not getting into the name it and claim it bunch and the live like a king's kid crowd and the let's have two Cadillacs and three garages group. We're not believing in that garbage. That's not what this is all about. Don't forget, the scripture also says you ask not because you ask amiss. I mean, you receive not because you ask amiss, wanting to spend it or use it upon your own fleshly lusts. If you're wanting to get rich, if you're wanting to be prosperous just so you can be selfish and egotistical and prideful, forget it. It's not going to work. Because that's not honoring God. That's bribing God. Let me tell you something. Prosperity living is not bribing God, it's honoring God. When you bribe God, God cannot be bribed. God cannot be bribed. That's something the Lord showed me back years and years and years ago. I can remember even before I was a Christian. There was just something about bribery I could not stand. And I made up my mind and determined myself that I could not be bribed. Now, if I, being a man, and at the time did not even know the Lord, could not be bribed, how much more is God going to refuse to be bribed?